Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. From the origins of Grater's ice cream and the city's famed chili and all its varieties, to some of the most acclaimed chefs and restaurants, a new book explores the history of food in Cincinnati. The author is a known expert on the subject, Polly Campbell, the longtime and recently retired food writer and critic for the Cincinnati Inquirer. The book is called Cincinnati Food, A History of Queen City Cuisine. It offers a vast study of what we love to eat here, whether it's a plate full of cinnamon-scented chili on spaghetti or skillets frying up Getta or other uniquely Cincinnati staples. Campbell's book will leave your mouth watering for a taste of home. I spoke with Polly Campbell earlier, and here's our recorded interview. Polly Campbell, welcome back to Cincinnati Edition.
Hi, thanks.
You know, we had you on as you were leaving your longtime post as the food writer at the Cincinnati Inquirer, but it looks like you've been pretty busy still writing about Cincinnati food. So what made you want to explore this? Like, it's not writing a review, it's not writing an article, writing a book is much different. What made you want to do this?
It's a lot different. Sure, it takes a lot longer for one thing. I was just struck over and over by stories I wrote where people had been inspired by Cincinnati history to do something with food, or food had lasted here a long time and people had kind of picked up on it again, or history repeated itself. And I thought it would really make an interesting story about, not just about Cincinnati food, but really about Cincinnati and the history that just is lying around here everywhere.
Well, you're certainly an expert on the cuisine of the Queen City, and I'm wondering, though, as you set about writing it in book form, how did you begin? Like, you know so much. How did you, I guess, separate everything? Did you put some note cards together? How did you know exactly where you wanted to go with this?
Well, like I said, a lot of it came from articles I'd already written. And you know, every once in a while, something would occur to me that really connected things up. And one of them was seeing the pigs down at Sawyer Point, the flying pigs, and thinking about Porkopolis and how we used to be so ashamed of that. And when they put the sculpture with the flying pigs, there was this huge controversy about putting pigs up and people were embarrassed. But it turned out to be something we embraced. It was a part of our history that defined us, that was different than another city. And I think that was the thing that sort of put it all together for me. And then I just looked back over, you know, all the various stories I'd written, and then spent hours and hours on newspapers.com looking at the old Inquirer archives, which is so much fun.
That's an interesting place to start, and a great story, one that we did a long segment about when I first arrived here that I didn't know anything about. A very fascinating history about that pig sculpture.
Oh, I know. Isn't it funny?
Oh, it's so hilarious. But
yeah.
You've got a picture included in this book, Cincinnati Food, A History of Queen City Cuisine, that in a way encompasses our cuisine in just one solid image. And it celebrates the 50th anniversary of the Maisonette and Skyline Chili, which happened in the same month. And so I guess it was a newspaper photo that included a picture of a Skyline server holding cheese conies and the maitre d' of the Maisonette at the time holding a bottle of Dom Perignon. And I thought, that's Cincinnati cuisine in a nutshell.
Yeah, no kidding. That was fun. I loved writing that story. I did a whole thing in the story of, like, compared the amount of cheddar cheese Skyline uses in a year versus the amount of cheddar cheese Maisonette uses, the amount of foie gras, you know. But it was hilarious. They were founded the same month of the same year. And it you know, people are always so proud of the fact that we used to have five-star restaurants, and that we had Maisonette as a five-star restaurant for so long. And that really did define Cincinnati in a way much differently than other Midwestern cities. But then, of course, our chili does, too. And it was so much fun in my job being able to cover both worlds.
Well, that's kind of what I want to talk about next is, you know, I guess if you're talking to an out-of-towner and recommending, you know, what you have to eat when you're in Cincinnati in just a general sense, like what type of food you've got to eat, I guess it's you've got to have the chili, you've got to have the Getta, and then you got to try Grater's ice cream. Am I right about that? Is that kind of like the main things if you're just being broad?
I started the book, obviously, you got to go get some chili. And I don't care if you don't like it, you got to get it. And if you moved here, you have to like it. Sorry. You know? So once you've done that, and I've introduced a lot of people to it, like my parents. I'm not from Cincinnati, but my parents would visit and I took them to Skyline, and they're like, yeah, I think so. And then later, a few years later, they'd show up and they'd say, oh, we stopped on the way and got some chili. So it definitely, people definitely have to get used to it, but then they find inexplicable sort of cravings for it, I guess.
Oh, certainly.
One thing I started, the first chapter in the book after the intro is about Arnold's. And I think that's a place you have to go if you're here or if you care about history or if you're moving here for sure, anywhere around here, because it encapsulates so much of several different periods of history. You know, it's been around since the Civil War, and you can tell that. And you can tell that because in the 70s, when Jim Tarbell and his friends bought it and started running it, they cared about that and they saved that atmosphere very, you know, very zealously. And the owners now do the same, but it's overlaid with that idea of the sort of 70s and what that was all about.
Yeah. Arnold's is so cool. It's definitely worth going. And they still have that really special outdoor place that's sort of pocketed and hidden. And it's just a really lovely place to sit and take in some music, but I'm not letting you off the hook with the chili yet. So I want to talk a little bit more about it because it is such a defining feature of a Cincinnati menu. But I guess the common debate is Gold Star versus Skyline. And then, of course, if you're in Northern Kentucky, you might root for Dixie Chili. But all over the region, there are chili parlors that are independent of all of those larger brands.
Right.
How have you found chili to define particular neighborhoods so much that people are quite proud and even defensive about why their area is better?
Oh, sure. I live in Pleasant Ridge, so, you know, Pea Ridge Chili right. All the way. Go there in the middle of the night, whatever. And, you know, it's funny. Every once in a while, my editors in the paper would say, why don't you do, you know, best chili? I'm like, I am not doing that because, you know, I don't want to make people mad at me. And it doesn't matter, really. I mean, I think there's some that are better than others. And you can tell the difference between them. But it's what you have a loyalty to. And that's why it tastes so good to you. It means something very specific to you. It's got memory, tradition. And it's, I don't know. You know, I don't like to make statements about any other city or how we're completely different. But I think the sheer penetration of chili into people's lives must be kind of unique for a regional food.
We're talking with Polly Campbell, the longtime food writer at the Cincinnati Inquirer, who has a new book called Cincinnati Food, A History of Queen City Cuisine. You explore in one chapter, Polly, the Germans arriving and over the Rhine. And obviously, we know our German-themed celebrations are iconic. And how did they impact our menu?
Oh, wow. In so many ways. First of all, the meats and the brats and mets, which are different than brats and mets anywhere else. That's a very definite thing you should eat in Cincinnati. And the legacy of neighborhood butchers who make their own sausages, make their own geta, smoke ham. I think that is one of the, you know, just one of the great things about Cincinnati food. And then in the same way, the bakeries. Cincinnati has, it's different in that it had a lot of neighborhood bakeries. Serving Schnecken and all kinds of things, and coffee cake, lots of coffee cake. And that is a German tradition of, you know, cafe and Kuchen in the middle of the day, in the middle of the afternoon, something that you share with other people. And I love to think of people sitting in their over the Rhine, you know, tenements, getting together over coffee and coffee cake. And we still do it now.
So we know the Germans. I think there's just so much obvious connection to our current culture, to our past German-influenced culture. But you also explore what might be a little less known, and that's the impact that Italian immigrants had on what and how we eat. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, right. I know it's funny. People don't think about Italian Cincinnati that much. But one thing I kind of discovered about Italians is that you grow up down the street from your grandmother, your family lives, nearby. Sunday dinner, you get together at grandma's and you eat a lot of Italian food. It's just everybody I talk to about Italian cooking in Cincinnati tells that story. And so I think a lot of Italian people as kids were so influenced by food that at some point it just is natural for them to start serving food to other people. Italians and Greeks and Chinese are among the ethnic groups that sort of, are more likely to open restaurants. So they have a little more influence than their numbers would imply. And then of course there's Buddy LaRosa, who has a really great immigrant story. He's not an immigrant, but his parents were, and or his grandparents were. He grew up in when there was a Little Italy in Cincinnati, and his story of making it with pizza is really a lovely story, and Buddy is one of the beloved figures of Cincinnati.
And you also reference the Italian community in Newport, where there were so many in one neighborhood. It was called Spaghetti Knob. And of course, there's the famous Pompilio's there. And I mean, even to this day, the Newport City Commission has 5 members on it. 3 of the names are Peluso, and Guduli. They're still very prominent in Newport, the Italian connection there. We're talking with Polly Campbell, the author of the new book, Cincinnati Food, A History of Queen City Cuisine. So we explored chili when I referenced that picture of the skyline and the Maisonette. And the Maisonette is, of course, unfortunately, in our past now. But how do you define fine dining in Cincinnati now? It seems like the experience of what might be classified as fine dining back in the day of the Maisonette isn't what we would see today.
No, things have certainly changed. And of course, right now, fine dining really doesn't exist for the moment. And I hope it comes back because it's just a lovely thing to have in your city as a place you go to dress up and eat something really special. One thing, that I really enjoyed is that the Maisonette space had been empty for some time after the restaurant closed, but it reopened as Boca, David Falk, who had worked at Maisonette, opened it. And it's not completely recognizable, but there are lots of homages to it. And it really preserves that a kind of sense of grandeur, but in a much more casual way. I mean, their servers wore blue jeans, which I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But is that right? At Boca, they do?
I think that's so. Right.
Yeah. And people aren't, I don't know. That's a long, long story about fine dining, and people eat out so much more and they want to be much more casual. But there are still places where you can find food done at a very high level, including, Jean Robert's table and his that's the other legacy of Maisonette in the food.
Well, you just referenced Jean Robert. Obviously, he was connected to the Maisonette before striking out on his own there. We've got Jeff Ruby, of course, another titan of local food. They've been around a while now. Who are the folks that you see carrying on the legacy of Cincinnati food now?
Oh, wow. Well, anybody who is out there... it's not just restaurants, it's butchers and the people who make the beer and Kate McDonald over at Skeleton Root, who's making the wine that Nicholas Longworth used to make. There's the first chili parlor to open in OTR, and who knows how long opened just as the pandemic started. And I think, there, every, everything in Cincinnati is Cincinnati in a way. And so, you know, the Thunderdome Group, who are working to open, who have opened a lot of restaurants on Vine Street, because Vine Street is the is another wonderful historical phenomenon where we've gone back to it as a place of entertainment when as it used to be in the late 19th century. People who are baking pretzels and people who are opening little bakeries and bars down and over the Rhine. It's a living thing for sure.
Polly, as I mentioned at the beginning of our chat here, we had you on before as you were leaving your longtime post at the Cincinnati Enquirer. I should ask, do you miss the day-to-day writing of it, or are you enjoying taking some more time to yourself and focusing on longer-term projects?
I miss the newsroom, but every time I think about the newsroom, I realize there's nobody there.
Not during a pandemic.
Yeah. And sure, I miss being in the know on what's happening, and I miss all the lovely food, but it's also really nice being in charge of my own food and eating a more healthy way. I'm just enjoying looking at it from the outside. It was a strange time to retire. My relationship to restaurants has now completely changed. And, I haven't been out to eat all that much. But, it was time for me to think about other things, and I'm happy where I am.
Well, I'm only going to ask this cliche question to you because it is included in the About You section in the book. So when you are ordering chili, what's your go-to dish? Or how do you how do you ask for it, I guess I should say?
Oh, well, first of all, I always get a Greek salad because if it's a chili parlor with Greek salad, I always get one of those. And then I usually get a four-way bean, just that, four-way bean. I don't have any special, extra soupy or cheese on the bottom or extra spicy or anything like that. Four-way bean. I can't do the raw onions, and I'm happy with that.
And when you're at Grater's, what do you get?
Oh, well, not like I get the same thing every time, but I'll tell you something that is awesome at Grater's, and I don't know if people know how delicious this is. You get their salted caramel ice cream, which is like beautifully creamy with the bittersweet chocolate sauce on it.
Oh, yeah.
That's so good.
That sounds great.
Maybe. Or toffee chip.
Well, that sounds delicious. I'm glad we're ending on such an upbeat note about some good advice. And the book is called Cincinnati Food, A History of Queen City. Our guest is the author of that book, Polly Campbell. Polly, thank you so much for spending some more time with us, and good luck with the book. And we'll look forward to what you do next.
Yeah, thanks so much, Michael.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.